Okay. All right, good. The project length is good, so it's working. So again, last Sabbath when I was ill, for lack of a better word, and there's a lot better words than just ill, I'll tell you, that as I was in prayer, the Lord revealed why he's got us studying the sanctuary on Sabbath as a church family. And sadly, many people in the SDA church, you know, they don't do that. And those that do, it doesn't matter what they're studying, they only read Ellen White's writings, and the Jesuits in the church know it. They know exactly they're doing that, because that's how it's designed. And so, just as they changed the Bibles, you know, like in the Catholic Church, because they knew they could, you know, if they can get the people out of the Bibles, they'll put them into their own little pamphlets, and what they used to call, well, they still call them missals. Because I remember as a kid, nobody in the Catholic Church ever walked in there with a Bible. You look like an idiot if you did. They'd give you weird looks. They say, what's wrong with the, you know, they say, you know, we got the missals right here, and people would bring in their own missals. I got mine on my confirmation day. It was a leather bound. It was, you know, thick. Well, I don't think it was leather. It was a, you know, fake leather with hard, it was a hardcover book. And, but the ones that were in the pews were only good for a month. And, the one I had was, you know, good for the whole year. And so that's how much it changes in the Catholic Church. It doesn't change at all. You can literally hold on to that St. Joseph's Catechism, Missalette. General edition is what I had, and it. If I was still reading it today, I wouldn't have to. You know, by the time I was 15, I think, maybe 12, now that I think about it, the Mass was memorized. Everybody in the whole church family, that's how they, you know, they didn't even have to bring Missalette. Some people did, the new converts and stuff like that, if you can believe it, but they would bring them. And so they had it set up that way to where keep them out of the Bible, keep them in the books we write. Better control. Remember what Hitler said? If you can give me the textbooks, I'll have that nation in 20, or, yeah, I think it's 15 years? Yeah, how long it takes for a kid to get out of, you know, high school. You don't care about the five-year-olds and stuff like that, so that's why they really hit hard and heavy on the high school kids, because they figure in 4 years, you're going to be voting. You know, when you're a freshman, 4 years later, you'll be voting. 4.5 years. The Jesuits know this. Just like they changed the Bibles, they have changed Sister White's writings. And this is why, you know, my discernment from day one of this study is because, in regards to all this, is because I know that if we read our Bibles, we can't be taken off guard even when reading Spirit of Prophecy, no matter how much they corrupt it. Case in point, I found Jesus Christ in Douay Rheims. That Bible has thousands of verses missing. That's a Catholic Bible. And but then I found a video. And some of you know who Vern Bates is. I sent this to Brother Craig, I think, Sabbath night or something like that, or Sunday afternoon. I can't remember. I just like looking for preachers online. I actually found that Bates, somebody put up, you know, they bootlegged, I guess, some old VHS tapes of him studying with a friend of his named John. And I've talked to John on the phone before. I've talked to Vern many times, too. Smartest man I've ever known in my life. He could cite scripture and Spirit of Prophecy down to the page, sentence, everything. Top of the page, bottom of the page, middle of the page. I mean, this guy was, you know. And I was just watching the video now a little while ago. I finished off another, you know, the one about the seven plagues, where he finishes by saying, you know, and I agree with this 100%. If you read your Bible just a half an hour a day, you'd be surprised how much information you'll have by the time you get to his age, and I think he was in his 80s at that time. And so I found this video about Vern Bates doing a study on camera with John titled The Seven Last Plagues that everyone in this church, I think, needs to see. The only thing I have a little bit of confusion on is towards the end of the video he starts talking about the King of the North. He does believe the King of the North is Satan as well as, you know, the Catholic Church. But when you go to the context of I think it's plague number six. Yeah, plague number six. He's leaning towards the King of the North there being a usurped authority of, it's not Turkey. He even says it's not Turkey because some people out there saying that. But he goes in so far as to say that the true King of the North is Jesus. And if you look in Psalms 48, I think it is, verses 1 and 2, it does say that Jesus Christ is the king of that city that's on the sides of the north. So that's true. And that's why Satan would use that, because he wants to be worshipped as a god. So he comes off saying that he's the king of the north. So there's two ways of looking at the king of the north in prophecy. And so, yeah. But this has to do with the Euphrates. So I'm a little confused on that with him on that. I did like some of the stuff I saw at the beginning of the video, because for years I've been saying there have been 500 million people killed by the Vatican during the Dark Ages. And everybody was telling me, he says, nah, it's 50 or 100 million. I says, nah, I don't see how that's even possible. He said the exact same thing. And I never knew he knew that. And I think I found it in Fox's Book of Martyrs, not as a digit, but as a way of saying it. I couldn't find it on my, I got Fox's book on my site. So, but anyway, just so you know, that those that don't know who Vern Bates is, and hold on, let me get this fan going. He's the man that has all the original writings of the Spirit of Prophecy in a vault somewhere, so as to protect it from the Jesuits in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And like I said, I talked to this guy a few times before he died. He died a couple of Marches ago. I think it was March 20th, but he was blessed with a mind, even after his stroke, because I talked to him after his stroke, and he sounded like he was drunk, you know, because that's what strokes do. The guy never drank or anything. He's born and bred, SDA. I never asked him, but I wonder if he's related to Joseph Bates, you know, the last name and all that. Even after the stroke, it took him a little time to get the words out, you know, not as quick as he used to be, but yeah, his memory was intact. Problem is the stroke got him to where he lost his appetite, and within a few months he, you know, more or less starved to death. So, but he points it out in this study, as we in the Seventh-day Adventist Church have been saying since day one, that if you're not studying your Bible properly, and I love getting stuff like this, because now I got someone I can actually watch, even though he's been gone for a while. Because I never knew he had video. I knew he had VHS, and I know he's got some DVDs. His daughter's got some DVDs, but you can't really use the VHSs. I mean, my son Luke has some converters that we used to use years ago to convert VHS to DVD. It's somewhere in the house here, but I can't see. I don't have a VHS player. I imagine you can get one somewhere. But he says, if you don't read your Bible properly, when you read, oh, okay, good to know, Lee. Thanks. Make sure it works. Those things are old tech now. Yeah, I can still repair them probably. But that's good to know, because I got a whole mess of VHSs somewhere in the house here. But again, he more or less says what we've been saying for years, that if you don't study your Bible properly when you read the Spirit of Prophecy, you're going to miss a bunch of key points that have been craftily removed. And this is why I don't have a problem, like if tonight, if we can finish CCH, we'll finish it. You know, Councils for the Church, because we could find out where the issues are. But if you're not one that studies prophecy and have been doing so for a while, I'd steer clear of any of Ellen White's writings that are, you know, from the DVDs or the CDs or the whiteestate.org or any of that stuff until we can do something that the Lord's already blessed us with. You know, I started something off this morning. I purchased something I'll be telling you about here in a minute. That we're going to be doing something that prophecy says has to be done. And I want this church family to do this work. So, but I'll give you one example of of what he's talking about in regards to, because we all know he's the one that says the original writings are nothing like the writings you guys have in your hands out there. And so in the 1911 Great Controversy, that they claim was revised by Ellen White herself. I actually have Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, 2, 3, the blue books. You can't get them anymore. And right in there, it says 1911, and it says that she authorized the upgrade or update, if you will, which is a bold-faced lie. They did everything they can to keep her away from the writings and stuff like that. She more or less left the church in 1888. She had spoke against it since 1888 because of what they did when they rejected Christ our righteousness. And so she had nothing to do with the 1911, right? It says that the sins of the people in this 1911, and this is why we're studying the sanctuary, right? It says that the sins of the people are placed on the scapegoat at the end of the thousand years. This is a direct echo of what Doug Batchelor does too. saying certain things happen at certain times when in fact they don't. And Fran and I were going through this the other day, and we saw, wow, that, and I noticed that's where Bachelor got it. And that's why they preach this on TV, because they know everybody's out there reading the 1911 or older. You know how many different Bates puts on camera, I think somewhere in the beginning of the video, he's got, I think, 8 different volumes of The Great Controversy. And he says, this first one here, the 1858, is the good one. And this is all the rest of them, garbage, kindling. They've all been changed. Even while she was alive. That's why they threw her off to Australia for a while, right? But anyway, they say that they changed her writings to say that the sins of the people are placed on the scapegoat at the end of the 1,000 years in the sanctuary service, when the Bible says the exact opposite. The Jesuits know that the Seventh-day Adventist people stopped reading their Bibles, and they only read Spirit of Prophecy. And so they know they can lie like this without issue. In fact, there were 4. A lot of you remember this because some of you have been with us for quite a few years, and including the ones that are on the radio, because some of you, you know, don't like chat rooms, and or in some cases your internet is bad, like Brother Severin was telling me earlier in an email, I think it was, that he's got to use the radio because he moved and his new location doesn't have good internet. And so, but forgive me, I'm still a little bit gravelly in the chest here from my sickness, whatever hit me. But so the Bible doesn't say any of that. But if you all remember, 4 Seventh-day Adventists that attacked our church family some years ago, and I'm not blaming these kids. All right, the first one, you all know who he is, and I really liked him, but day one I had bad discernment about him. And I've always just say, like, you know, just to put it out there, because there's a lot of people that are like this, because I had an issue like this where it's all about me, so look at me. You know, I can't walk past the mirror without kissing it, kind of a thing, you know, so it's all about me, right? And it says you got to get away from the cameras. If you get away from the cameras, you'll start getting a little bit, you know, closer to the Lord. I didn't know he wasn't reading the Bible, because him and the other guy says, yeah, we've never read the Bible cover to cover. But boy, they have read Ellen White back and forth, left and right, up and down. And so that, my brothers and sisters, is why they had such strange claims that they thought was new light that we in the Seventh-day Remnant Church Council put down as heresy immediately, because we did it the proper way. So they started sharing this stuff in the chat room. He says, no. It's got to go through the proper channels. If you got something you think is new light, you know, bring it to Craig and I or any of the other guys that are out there in the Philippines, and we'll look it over. And it was pretty obvious it wasn't new light. It was contradicting the old light. And so we shared that to them. But because of the grandstanding behind it, all they wanted, they didn't, you know, want any part of us. They tried to infiltrate and change the minds of the people. But you can't mess with the elect. I mean, the elect cannot be deceived. And so they gave up after a while because they realized they were, you know, like Paul, kicking against the pricks. It just ain't going to work. So getting back to the 1911 claim about the scapegoat, you're going to find, if you go back to the original unaltered writings, you'll find that it places the timing of the scapegoat and the sending of same into the wilderness in the same way Scripture puts it. And so this is why we're studying the Word of God regarding the sanctuary, so as to fulfill the prophetic statement of our Lord and His remnant, that people cannot be deceived. If you stay in your Bibles and you read Ellen White's writings, in today's world, get your hands on the original ones. In the 1911, it also says that Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives at the second coming. But the Bible, we all know. And that's another thing that Batchelor and... I'll look at David Gates, too, with his false prophecies, setting dates and everything like that. And people defend them left and right because they can back up their defense with their bogus Spirit of Prophecy books. And... the original Spirit of Prophecy says, just like the Bible says, we're caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. I mean, I would have come across this video that Bates put up before I made that video last week about the Seventh-day Adventist Church claiming that we will be alive during the 1,000 years. I could have used some of that information to further enlighten the people to the wickedness of those wolves they call pastors and conference leaders. And we got to put it, I mean, it's just bold. Absolute. I mean, it's just like with Catholicism, and I've noticed this with any wolf. They're going to be extra cordial. They're going to be extra gentle, of course, unless, of course, you go against their grain. And then they'll show their teeth, just like Sister White saw in that vision. You know, it's lovey-dovey first, a little bit of shoving next, some teeth showing next, and then all of a sudden you're, you know, kicking to the curb kind of a thing. And so this morning, actually I wanted to buy it last night, but there was some issues in regards to the OCR technology in the background of this thing that I'm buying, because I don't even know why I paid the extra $10, but you never know. Because the OCR comes with I think it's 29 or I think it's 26 standard languages, which you can, OCR technology you can get most printers today has it in there, which means you can put a book on top of your printer, scan it, and then it becomes data. You can literally make it a searchable PDF or data. I want to do both, and there's a reason for that is because we need to digitize Ellen White's writings, and stuff like, I just found this out earlier. I was watching the video earlier, and I didn't know this. Early writings, she didn't write. That's a compilation of the Great Controversy of the 1858, seriously. And Bates proves it on the camera. And so we got to find out, you know, just go to vbates.com and you'll get all the original books. But one of the brothers in the faith, let me go to the page on the site here real quick. See if I can find it. Let's see. Prophecy, Ellen White, SOP compilations. I have on the site right now, nobody here remembers Randy, so never mind. But talked to him, or actually emailed him the other day. So we've got the original message to the Seventh-day Adventist Laodiceans in searchable PDF format. And if you click it, yeah, it brings you out. And it's an actual Vern Bates book somebody scanned, but it's from the Adventist Heritage James White Library at Andrews University. And so you could tell it wasn't altered. It's an old book. It's just pictures of an old book. And it's got, you know, the handwriting in it and stuff like that. So that's one. Let me see if it's searchable. So let me control F the page, and I'll just put in the word if. Bam, found it. All right, so that's not OCR tech. Well, it's in a way that's OCR, but OCR technology allows you to actually scan the book and put it into a database that you can create, like a sequential or a random access kind of a database. And I'm going to have to go dig back into my brain back from the days when I did the green screen programming, and my main thing was making software that runs databases. I'm not kidding you. It's how amazing how the Lord got me into it. It was DBase I was using back then. DBase 3.0 is an actual operating system. I mean, it ran on the backbone of DOS, obviously, but still. It allowed me to create software out of a database, and you could access it. And so that's what I want to do. I want to scan the, because I bought a scanner, a digital scanner, and I'm going to scan these. Let me see what the other ones were. So that one could be shared like on Friday night or whatever. Original Spirit of Prophecy Volume 1, I don't know if this is right. It is a Vern Bates book. It's easy to see. It's got the colors and the graphics that he used. But it stops on page 16 for some problem reason. I can't remember the brother. It's one of the brothers in the faith here that did this PDF scan for me. Or knew someone that did it and gave it to me, and I put it on the site. That one's only got 16 pages, so I don't know what's wrong with that one, but we'll eventually find that and fix it up. A Great Controversy. I got one right here in my hand from Vern Bates. It says on the back, Echoes from the Past, obviously. That's his ministry. And if you click that, it brings it out, the whole book. I just went, I mean, you search this, it's PDF, it's still searchable. So now, this is what I was talking to Margaret. I'm sorry, Mary Beth, that's Vern's daughter, and she finally decided to tell me something that I already knew, and so I was just trying to like feel this thing out as to where she was going with her decision not to do certain things in regards to the writings. But let me just check these other ones out real quick. This one here is The Great Controversy by Ellen White. Let me see, Swiss Reformer. Oh, maybe we already have. No, The Destruction of Jerusalem. Let's see. Spiritual gifts comes first, but what's the? I think it's Fall of Satan is the first chapter here. Yeah, Fall of Satan. So this one here that's on my website, The Great Controversy, that we did years ago in the chat room, I'm going to remove it. I'm just going to get it out of there because I think it's 1911. I'll double check, but and then I just found out the other day, I was looking online, but we have The Great Controversy 1858 edition read by Randy, and I'm just going to put his name, Slate Rock. That's his ham radio name. It's not his real last name. But he's from Kentucky. He's got that down home drawl and all that, and he's perfect diction. It sounds, he's a joy to listen to, actually, you know. Better than Scorby, in my opinion, because he's a brother, you know. And he read the entire book and put it on his site. I have it on my server somewhere, but I couldn't find it, and so I just linked his out. All right? And then we've also got Great Controversy Table of Contents. Oh, no, that's the one I just did, so that one I got to remove. A Call to Stand Apart. That's a huge whatever. All right. The Time of Jacob's Trouble, this SLP on the Mark of the Beast, The Latter Rain, The Golden 100. The Golden 100 is a compilation of quotes from Ellen White that people call the Golden 100, and I got a couple of copies of it from the guys on the West Coast before they left. And Last Day Events, this one here, I don't think this... Yeah, this isn't the one that Ellen White put together. This is the one that they on the West Coast put together, I'm believing, because it's twice the size. And then Ministry of Healing. We've already done all these online, but they're not, I don't think they're safe, to be honest with you. And then underneath that, we got a bunch of audios. And the reason I'm sharing all this is what I saw in that video shocked my socks off. Yeah, that's the same Randy Matthew, same guy. Okay, well, this is, I bought all four volumes from V. Bates. Volumes of what? of what, Brother Warren? I didn't, of The Great Controversy? Or was that Spirit of Prophecy altogether? I gotta get more water here. Okay, good. How big are they? See, the scanner I bought will scan it in using regular OCR technology for 26 languages, but I threw an extra $10 in for the three other languages that no one ever does, which is Chinese, Japanese, and North Korean. That's what it was. And because you never know. We might need those. And so, oh, it's small? Good. Because this scanner I bought, it's better than the other ones, and it's half the, well, it was the same price, but it's half the price now. It was on sale because the new one's out, but the new one's out of stock, and so I don't really need all the, you know, stronger structure. You know, I just want to have the thing work like every 1.5 seconds. You could scan a 300-page book in 7 minutes and have it into a searchable PDF on a website within a half an hour, you know. And, yeah, The Great Controversy, I'd like to do that when all four volumes. The one I have here, the 1858, is a dinky little thing. It's only on the website. I think it's 201 pages. Let me see. It's a bunch of blank pages, I guess, for notes. Oh, no, 217-something. 217, I think. Nope. 218 and a third. Last page got next to nothing on it. Sister White did prophesy somewhere in her writings that her writings will come back. And I think it would be an amazing blessing if the Seventh-day Remnant people are the ones that did it. So, okay, so I'm getting with, you know, Pastor Craig on this and then, of course, his wife Addie to figure out which books we need to do. But it can't be any of these compilations. It can't be any of them because they can't be trusted with the dot, dot, dot stuff in there. And so... And then we have to go over them as a church family because we're going to get information no one else has. And we're the only ones that are going to have it digitized. Of course, I'm not going to lock it down with a password. I'm going to let the world see this because that's the prophecy that needs to get back out there. And people can take it off my website, put it on their site. I don't care. And I'm not going to charge or nothing, you know, because this needs to get out there. And so And it'll show you how corrupted the Seventh-day Adventist Church is. It's been corrupted since 1888 when they rejected Christ our righteousness. We knew that. But a lot of people hemmed and hawed and, you know, claimed that Sister White hadn't left or nothing like that. And when she did all she could to try to warn the people. It's just like with Samuel walking down the road. It's not like he left the church. He was still trying to warn Saul. You know, he wasn't in cahoots with his apostasy. So Sister White wasn't in cahoots with all that stuff either. So, let me see. Yeah. That was another thing I was thinking about, Alex, is buying all the books out. I've already got quite a few books. They're in the basement. I got to go through them because someone years and years ago, it's mostly the little pamphlets, I think, the testimonies were sent to us and out of the blue. And they're all echoes from the past, so they're all good. And so we got to get these books out there. But anyway, like I was saying, I was talking to Mary Beth, and I says, you know, I wanted to know if her dad had any books on just time prophecies, on just things that are going to be happening in the future. Did he ever compile? Because I would only trust it from him if he was to compile some stuff that Sister White said in regards to what's going to happen next. And no one's ever done that, and I don't think he did it either. But she says he does have some videos. They're on DVD called Time Prophecies, Part 1 and Part 2. And so I'm going to get that. It's like, I think, $140 for both. I think it's $30 for both. The $144 it was for the whole set of something else. And because I enjoy listening to him teach. He's very, and I love the confirmation left and right, too, where he says, oh, Sister White said this and said that and said this. And I'm thinking, yeah, we never read that. It's never been in any of the books we've had. But praise God that we have the Holy Spirit, because he always, you know, prevents us from going off the deep end and believing something we shouldn't believe. Because none of us has fallen for that stuff that's in the 1911, not that I know of. And so, but anyway, I was telling her, I says, you know, because she knows me. Because I called her, I don't know how many times. But now she's the only one that answers the phone because Dad's been dead for a while. And she knows that some of you guys, and I sent a lot of people her way, so she didn't have a problem with me at all. And I says, you know, sister, you know, we do this work. I says, let me just throw you a scenario out there, and this is what I was telling her. I says, you know, I'm on a street corner, you know, and I run across somebody that's, you know, Seventh-day Adventist. Because you ain't going to be on a street corner talking to some Joe Schmo about this, you know, you got to use Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John kind of a thing. You can't use Ellen White on the street. I said, but I'm talking to a Seventh-day Adventist, trying to warn them of the danger of the apostasy in the church and how their pastors have actually become wolves, as the prophecy has stated. No matter how gentle and loving and educated they appear, that's how it works. But they don't see this. And so I said, sister, when I'm sharing with these people and I'm telling them that Sister White said this and she said that, and I have your books in my house, and I type out, let's say, a section of your, you know, of her writings from the Great Controversy, say page 95 or something, and I send it to them in an email, they're going to come back saying, I don't believe you because I just took this quote, word for word, that you just sent me, and I put it in my Ellen White DVD, or I went to whiteestate.org, and it's not there. And so I think you're a liar, and you're slamming the SDA church. And I said, sister, we got to digitize the books, because if you don't digitize them, it's crippling the work. And that's what hit her. And then she reminded me of something, because I already knew about, Danny Winters, all right? I don't remember the other guy's name, but when Vern was alive, I says, Vern, we got to get these books in digital format, because the world's changing, and not a lot, and I understand going out there, like we're in the caves, it's nice to have the books, because you're not going to have a lot of tablets or any way to, you know, charge them up and stuff like that, but until that time comes, I can reach 1,000 people in a couple of hours as opposed to a couple of years if I have it digitized. And he says, well, yeah, we got a couple of guys working on that right now. And he gave me their phone numbers. I says, all right, cool. So I call the guys up, and it's like, and they had the books. He says, I sold them. And Mary Beth reminded me of this. Says, yeah, my dad gave him all of our books, one of each, with the idea that he was going to digitize. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that's great. And so there's no way of getting a hold of Danny Winters. I don't have his phone number anymore. I could try looking it up, but I didn't find anything online. I didn't even think to look in my own little Rolodex here. Hold on. So I may have put it in here. Let me see. Vern. There's Vern. Let's see, Vern's daughter. She's 64, by the way. He was an old guy. And Art Abbott. Oh, got his phone number. No, this isn't Dan. This is Art. I got his phone number. And so I'm going to give him a call on Sunday. So good. I did. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me where I put it. So it's in my little electronic Rolodex. But here's the thing that ticked me off. Vern gives me the phone number. I went and I talked to Art and the other guy. So I guess the other guy was Danny. And he says, how long have you guys had the book? And he goes, a year. I says, well, you got anything done on it yet? Because we're kind of desperate here. We need these books out there being digitized. Oh, we haven't even started yet. And I knew, you know, there are bumps on a log. And so just like with what was going on with the West Coast, I said, all right, see you. Let me know. I gave my phone number. Let me know if you guys ever get this stuff going, you know. I want to be out there with it. Never happened. And it was like, I don't know, 2-3 years before Vern died, and he died 2 years ago, so that's 5-6 years ago. And so she gave me that. This is contact time. And so more or less said to me, yeah, go for it. Digitize them if you can. Because she's got a run of business going anyway. So, but we're going to do this. All right? And these scanners, instead of 300, they're down to 158. So we can even get two or three of them out there and let somebody else play around with them. But I think starting next, well, let's see, we only got 20 minutes left today. I'm sorry, I went a little bit over, way over. But I'll go, depending upon my voice, you know, I don't know why I didn't realize I was going to start coughing again. But let's, you know, go ahead and do the study. I'm just going to continue on from here. I noticed I got some PMs here, though. Oh, yeah, the Ellen White app, the Android app, none of that stuff is safe. None of it. That's the thing. And that's why I was saying, this is urgent. We got to let the brothers and sisters know, because I had the Ellen White app on my phone. Two of them. I found a good one that actually does bookmarks. But 1911 or some other goofy year. And we know what Ted Wilson just did a couple of years on the East Coast with those, what he called great controversies, which they weren't. And boy, did that cause a stink. And but he's still the president, so they're going okay with it. But the thing, you know, like we could finish the CCH if you want tonight. Well, I don't know if we could finish it tonight. We've got, you know, maybe an hour's worth on there to go through. And because we could literally, because like if you went here, and I could tag them out. The thing with a searchable PDF is you can't link it out. You can't link out the section on the PDF. So what I always hated about PDFs is why do people get into these things, you know? No, scanners won't work, Sister Lee. No, this is not a scanner. I got a scanner. Everybody's got scanners. Anybody that's got a printer, you got a scanner. This ain't going to work. No, this thing here is, it stands on your desk. It leans. It looks like a street light, you know, like when you're driving down the road, you know, one of those nice-looking cities where you got this flat-looking street light. And you put a book under it, and a little screen pops up on your laptop or whatever you're using, and it shows the book, and then you hear a, and then you turn the page, you hear another beep, and you turn the page, you hear another beep, turn the page. And it just takes pictures of the pages. No, it doesn't, it can go WordPress, it can go, and that's the thing, you know, if we do, that's what I liked about this one, and this one is cheaper than the other one. They'd have all the lights and stuff on it, which will burn out eventually. And it was like twice the price. This one here was $300 before the sale. The other one was $6. But, you know, the other one, you got to use your foot switch and turn it on and off and stuff. And you got to use these little finger cuffs. This one will actually erase your fingertips, everything. It's amazing technology. If you read the about, the guy's comical the way he talks about it. But he talks about how it took him years to make sure the algorithm would work to take the fingers out and stuff like that. But we can get these things online pretty quick. And now that I think about it, since Alex brought it up, because one of the features is to make it into a doc file, DOCX, which is mind-numbingly easy to convert to HTML, that I could leak it out. So you could put in, the only hassle with that is if she's got a lot of chapters, like, say, Great Controversy, and I don't know why they put the Great Controversy in Roman numerals. I never understood. But yeah, it's it'll be easier to link it out if it's HTML. But PDF, OCR, of course, which can go in any, you can run it, you know, you can go into any kind of format from there, just because it's a, you just throw it into a database with OCR. And then WordPress, and then JPEG, TIFF, and bitmaps, you know, BMPs. And so they, you can make them into pictures too. So this, it'll do just about anything. So yeah, it converts to multiple formats. The thing, but thanks for reminding me, because the other one didn't do doc. Because doc will allow us to go to make it into PDF, HTML. PDF, you could split it, yeah, but that's a hassle. Why go through all that, you know, to where you can, with PDF, you can link it. Well, just do so many pages, start a new file. Do so many pages, start a new file, and then just link each one as a separate page on a web. No. And then for the big books, you do, it has one page mode, where you can just sit there and have it take pictures of every page you turn. It only takes the picture of the one. Then you turn the book upside down and do it again, and it'll do the whole book, one page at a time, instead of double pages. Because the other one, like a regular size book, double page, 300 pages, 7 minutes. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more work, but once it's done, it's done. So it's going to keep me and Fran busy for a while, because she'll be doing, you know, the scanning of the books and then dumping into a flash drive or something like that, because I don't like, even in my own house, I won't use a network because of the things I do. And so we'll just, she'll more or less do the scanning, and then I'll take it from there and convert it to whatever I need to convert it to. Yeah, I noticed that too, Sister Arlene. She says that the last day events have been totally revised. We have a copy of the original version, and the chapters are different from what they are, what they supply today. And yeah, and that's how I was just looking online, and I was, because you know, we did the Great Controversy on the website many years ago, and then I linked it out per audio and per page, and it doesn't start with the fall of Satan. The original Ellen White Great Controversy has a preface called Spiritual Gifts, but no one ever. It's not in the, you know, the table. Well, yeah, it is in the table context. I just noticed that. It's just I guess it's kind of like a preface, because it says Spiritual Gifts, page 5, and then it says chapters underneath, and then it goes to, you know, 17 pages later, you got the fall of Satan, then the fall of man, and so. But I think this is going to be extremely interesting for the church family to go through Great Controversy the way it was written. So, yeah, Last Day Events is a compilation from the Ellen White website too. Yeah, but no, Artelina is talking about the. I think she says she had an original one, but I don't even know if there isn't a. I was shocked to hear that Early Writings wasn't a book she titled. And yet they say she did. And so they get away from it. And this is why they can do what they do, is because the SDAs have been mind, you know, like brainwashed, just like the Catholics, where they think their leaders wouldn't lie to them. The guy gives them a Great Controversy and says, look, you're safe here. This is a Great Controversy from Ellen White. She wrote it. And no, she didn't. She wrote 80% of it, but the other 20% that you put in there totally changed the book. But that part they're not going to tell you, obviously. So, boy, I hope I don't have to cough a lot tomorrow. So, I went on a little long, but let's do one at least. in regards to councils for the church. Okay, Sister Arlene says there's a very old book of Last Day Events, not the same as the one today. So my mom manually typed it from cover to cover because she didn't have a scanner. Or the OCR tech that you're talking about. Wow. That's a lot of work. Man. That'd be something to do. But yeah. The OCR tech, I've used it before on scanners and stuff like that. You know, because most printers, well, one, in the beginning, the scanners didn't even have it. You could just scan a picture, make a JPEG or a bitmap with it. But then later, the OCR stuff came out, and I was interested in it, but I didn't bother until it actually came with the computer. And boy, did I mess with it then. I had a blast with it. And so, anyway, this here one that I'm going to start tonight, we're just going to do this one, chapter 66, which is the last chapter. And I put on the bottom in yellow, Sunday Law Compilation next, but now I, even there, I'm wondering if it's safe because it's, you know, it's from Sister White's, or it's from the White Estate and stuff like that. We have the technology. Sounds like that one. We can make them stronger. No, we have the technology now. We're going to get these books digitized. We already have The Great Controversy, so we're going to start with that. We have other books that are already online. No, I think we, yeah, that's right. Is the brother here? Yeah, the $6 million man. That's the one, Dwayne. I couldn't remember it. Yeah, make him faster, make him stronger. Because we have the technology. So, yeah, it's about the last TV series I ever watched. Oh, no, I probably watched many after that because I can't remember when I quit TV. It's been many, many years. But, yeah, we're, if the brother's here or if you're on the radio or whatever, give me a call or give me an email. I think he's from a different country because the volume one is only 16 pages on the PDF one. And, but we need to know what books we got to do, and it'll go pretty fast. If you can do 300 pages in 7 minutes, then I'm all for it because it'll take us forever to get through 300 pages. And so it's not like I got to do it every day, but I'd like to get a lot of them in there where we can, you know, at least the ones that the brothers want for the, you know, for Sabbath day study. Because then we got to stay on the straight and narrow. But the stuff you're using now, if it doesn't have any prophetic utterance in it, you know, like the plagues and all this other stuff, and, you know, it's, unless you've studied prophecy, you might get caught off a little bit off guard. But I don't think so, because the elect, they're not easily deceived. The Holy Spirit will just spark something in your heart saying, hey, something ain't right here. And so be careful. Anyway, chapter 66, Behold, I Come Quickly. It says, recently in the night season, my mind... Well, maybe we should stop the recording here and then start a new one. Nah, I'll just leave it like this. So, recently in the night vision, my mind was impressed by the Holy Spirit with the thought that if the Lord is coming as soon as we believe He is, we ought to be even more active than we have been in years past in getting the truth before the people. Which reminds me. Somebody just did it again the other day on YouTube, slamming me for something. The video I did about the 2030 thing. And I, you know, it's kind of hard to tell the mindset of those that are putting out this information in regards to 2030. And then Ocasio-Cortez, that socialist girl from New Jersey that's being puffed up in the media, even though she doesn't know much about politics, but they're going to push her forward because, you know, we're going to have a socialist society here, but it's not going to be socialist in the way that you see in Venezuela. Although the end result will be the same, it will not be declared as such because the American people won't go for it. And I just got confirmation a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I put it on the site on my Vatican Socialist Agenda page that I put up probably 10 years ago. I don't even know how many years ago, because the prophecy is clear, but no one wanted to believe it. Now they're talking on a regular basis about socialism in the media. Isn't that something? Remember for years he says, oh, no one's talking about a new world order. No, no, come on, no, that's just evil. No one would talk about that. And then like 5 years later, they're all talking about it. They always, and people don't even catch it. They all got the attention span of a gnat. I mean, they miss it. But this 2030 thing, what if, this is my one point, what if? It's put out there because Satan knows he can get it done by 2020. You know, you don't know. We don't know the day or day of the hour, and he doesn't know either. But he might think, well, I can get it done by 2020. Get his all ducks in a row, get all his foundations set up. That doesn't mean the Father's going to allow it, because the Lord has already set in stone the day he's coming back. You know, the Father has. And so there's no way. I mean, Satan just wants to be ready in advance. One of the reasons you see that Lucifer telescope in Arizona that the Vatican uses a lot. You know, they're keeping an eye on the Orion Nebula. And so anyway, it goes on. It says, in this connection, my mind reverted to the activity of the Advent believers in 1843 and 1844, which reminds me of something I saw in a video that Bates was talking about in regards to the Jubilees. It was a Jubilee year in 1843. If you go back all the way to 607, when Daniel was led into captivity, that was a Jubilee year. Just keep going 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, you know, all the way up until you get to 1843. It lands on a 50. You know, because the Jubilee, well, actually, you got the 49 years of servitude, then you got the release in the 50th year. And so that plays a part in our final victory over Satan at the end of the year, 1,000 years. And so that's another thing, Batchelor and his crowd, when they twist the prophecies around, they try to get the people confused about in regards to what's happening. I mean, there are no more time prophecies after 1844, of course. We don't know what the day or the hour is. We know what's coming next. We just don't know the day or the hour. But the time prophecy of something like a jubilee, yeah, it's just something that constantly repeats. It's a jubilee. It happens every 50 years. It's just, but you can count all the way up to the end of the 1,000 years, and that's when Satan burns. And so, but again, we don't know, because there was a jubilee year when the dispensation of the gospel went forth, but the dispensation went forth 7 years prior, even though Paul said it was the fulfillment of time. And so just because we know a jubilee year, like say you have three jubilee years like Bates was talking about in the video, you get to 1993. And so if you go put another 50 on there, you get to 2043. And some people, Jesus is going to come back for 2043. No, because like what happened back in the dispensation of the gospel or, you know, any other event over the last who knows how many jubilees. And so the Lord still, I mean, he'll come during a jubilee, you know, or up near it or whatever, but he doesn't have to lock it down. He's the one that knows the day or the hour, not us. But going on, it says, at that time, there was much house-to-house visitation and untiring efforts were made to warn the people of the things that are spoken of in God's word. We should be putting forth even greater effort than was put forth by those who proclaimed the first angel's message so faithfully. We are rapidly approaching the end of this earth's history. And as we realize that Jesus is indeed coming soon, we shall be aroused to labor as never before. And this is why we got to kick it up a notch, because of, I mean, the Lord's been burdening a lot of us on this, but, you know, the other day, like when I was sick and I actually came across a video and of Bates talking about this, and I don't trust Bates like I wouldn't trust him with, like I wouldn't trust any man. I don't trust mankind, period. But he was reading directly from the book I had in my hand, you know, an 1858 edition. And then I got a 1911 here in the house. And sure enough, that stuff's not in that one. And so she goes on to say that, that's why we got a lot of labor. We got to get out there and let these people know. Because putting it out there in this book form, especially these books that Bates put together, are, you know, when we scan them, these books are literally going to fall apart. I've got duct tape on a few of them. They won't hold up. The bindings are, I don't know, they're bad. But anyway, going on. We are bidden to sound an alarm to the people, and in our own lives we are to show forth the power of truth and righteousness. The world is soon to meet the great lawgiver over his broken law. Those only who turn from transgression to obedience can hope for pardon and peace. Oh, how much good might be accomplished if all who have the truth, the word of life, would labor for the enlightenment of those who have it not. And judgment starts at the church, right? We all know this. And so it's going to go over like a lead balloon if you try to walk up to somebody and say, hey, I got the original version of the Great Controversy. No, this is only going to affect Seventh-day Adventists that are still inside the pew. You show them, especially if you email them, a PDF and say, go on the PDF and just hit F3 or Control F, however you want to do it, because F3 on a keyboard or Control F on a keyboard is going to query up a searcher just for that page, no matter what, and type in a sentence. Say, type it here. I put this sentence in your email, copy the entire sentence word for word, and then paste it into the query of that F3. And it'll drop you right to the quote in her original writings, and you'll see it right there on screen. And there's no way of getting around it, because they can tell just by looking at it that it's photographs of pages, unless you OCR it. If you OCR it, then we can literally make software out of it, turn it into some type of searchable thing. Anyway, going on, it says, when the Samaritans came to Christ at the call of the Samaritan woman, Christ spoke of them to his disciples as a field of grain ready for harvesting. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white already to harvest, in John 4:35. Christ, wait, let me see, where did I leave off? Okay, we started good. So, it says, Christ abode with the Samaritans for 2 days, for they were hungry to hear the truth. And what busy days they were, yeah. As a result of those labors, or those days of labor, many more believed because of his own word in John 4:41. This was their testimony. We have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, John 4:42. So, amen. Let's do another one. Because, like I said, I went a little bit over explaining all this. And I'm just, the only reason I went through all that is because I love you guys. You know, and I want to get you all involved in this and get us all on the absolute right path. I mean, we haven't been preaching any deception whenever we come across something that, I mean, the Lord has prevented us from sharing certain books. I don't know if you've noticed that, but there's certain things we've never discussed in this church family from Ellen White's writings, like the Ellen White DVDs or CDs or anything. Is because it just didn't seem important, or we didn't have time, or however the Lord did it, he did it, you know? And the stuff that we did go over, you know, with the understanding that we already have, we were able to cross the I's and dot the T's. Well, the other way around, obviously, but sorry about that. So, next one. Your redemption draweth nigh. And then after that, there's only two left after that. And they're kind of big. So it says, I hear of the terrible calamities from week to week are taking place, I ask myself, what do these things mean? Now, let me stop there. I was just thinking about this the other day. This really amazes me because this is 100 and what years ago? I don't know when she wrote this book, if she wrote it. It's a compilation, obviously, but still. When you look, because I don't know how many people I've already talked to, and even non-believers says, yeah, something's up out there. And some of the comments that I get on YouTube, especially when it comes to some of my videos about prophecy, they go, you know, we don't really believe everything you say, but it is obvious something's happening out there, you know. And even the atheists are chiming in with stuff like that. It says, yeah, you can't get past the fact that something's going on, and you got to ask yourself the question, what does this mean? Something's got to be going on. This is, was this prophesied? So, going on, it says, the most awful disasters are following one another in quick succession. How frequently we hear of earthquakes and tornadoes. What, we had 8,000 in 1 week, I think, right? Was it 8,000 earthquakes in a week? And she's talking about, yeah, we had a couple in a year. Wow, that's, you know. So, how frequently we hear of earthquakes and tornadoes of destruction by fire and flood with great loss of life and property. Now, again, today, especially the young people, the millennials, you know, the ones that are leaning towards socialism because they've been brainwashed. It's not their fault. It's not their parents' fault. They trusted the government to teach them properly in the schools, and they didn't. It's like Hitler said, you give me the textbooks, I'll have that nation in 10, 15 years. Because, you know, if you can manipulate the kids, by the time they're old enough to vote, they're going to say anything he wants them to say. Because it's easy. The parents let you, the teacher, teach your children. Hence the reason Christians usually homeschool. So, but the thing is, most of the kids today, oh, that's just normal. That's the way life is. Oh, did you hear about what happened the other day over that school there? We got shut up. Or over there, that tornado ripped through and killed a whole mess of people in that one town. And they think it's all normal. It's not normal. It didn't get crazy until I was 12 that I can recall, because that was my first tornado of many. And then the following... No, actually, it was, the 67 winter, too. The whole year was a mess, because the winter, that's when the weather started going nutso. And maybe that's why the Lord had me do what I was doing at the age of 10 with the encyclopedias, because I got this urge to read up on meteorology. And sure enough, it was definitely useful when that twister came through. But anyway, she goes on, apparently these calamities are capricious outbreaks of seemingly disorganized, unregulated forces. But in them, God's purpose may be read. See, that's what the young people ain't seeing. They just think, well, it's been like this my whole life. I says, yeah, what are you all at 17? You know, wasn't like that when I was growing up. Well, it certainly wasn't like that when your grandpa was growing up. And it wasn't even like that when Ellen White was growing up. But it was starting. It was getting, now it's just plain crazy. But in her day, it was like obvious. The planet wasn't designed to kill its own residents. That's the sign of a dying world. But they'll just call it climate change instead of, hey, Jesus is coming back. Because that's why they've got to come up with something to get the people to look the other way. They know Jesus is coming back. They know these signs mean he's coming back. That's what they're looking at. They know it. But if they can get the people dumbed down enough to make them think that, no, it's just climate change. He's not coming back. Oh, come on. What are you, Jesus freak? Or, you know, they'll go that route, you know? Make you feel like an idiot for believing truth. If that's even possible. The elect, of course, ain't going to affect them anyway. So apparently these, well, I already read that. Okay, they are ones of the means by which he sees to arouse men and women to a sense of their danger. In other words, these calamities. The Lord does that. She says the coming of Christ is nearer when we first believed. Nearer than when we first believed. The great controversy is nearing its end. The judgments of God are in the land. They speak in solemn warning, saying, be ye also ready, for in an hour, or in such an hour as you think, not the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44, that's what Jesus said. So, but there are many, many in our churches who know little of the real meaning of the truth for this time. I appeal to them not to disregard the fulfilling of the signs of the times, which says so plainly that the end is near. Oh, how many who have not sought their soul's salvation will soon make the bitter lamentation. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Yeah, remember that one? That's scary, because when you think about it, especially when you hear about the way these pastors are going to die, they're going to get ripped to shreds by the hands of their own congregation, because they're going to say, you were calling these people that are glowing over here that are about ready to ascend into heaven, we're all going to hell. And you're sitting there saying that they were the crazy ones, we were the real Christians, and so they killed those pastors. But anyway, she goes on to say that we are living in the closing seasons of this earth's history. Prophecy is fast fulfilling. The hours of probation are fast passing. We have no time, not a moment to lose. Let us not be found sleeping on guard. Let no one say in his heart or by his works, my Lord delayeth his coming. Let the message of Christ's soon return sound forth in earnest words of warning. Yeah, of warning. Let us persuade men and women everywhere to repent and flee from the wrath to come. Let us arouse them to immediate preparation. For we little know what is before us. Let me see something over here. Okay, can you hear me now? Test. All right. Sorry about that. So, that was a pervading task. We have no time. I was trying to figure out where I left off. I didn't. Okay, here it is. Let me backtrack just a little bit. Let the message of Christ's soon return sound forth in earnest words of warning. Let us persuade men and women everywhere to repent and flee from the wrath to come. Let us arouse them to immediate preparation, for we little know what is before us. Let ministers and lay members go forth into the ripening fields to tell the unconcerned and indifferent to seek the Lord while he may be found. And we have two avenues here. Of course, with the Great Controversies and the other books, the original writings that we're going to digitize, and we're not going to sell them, so we're not going to take anything away. And we're not going to make it that easy to, well, I guess we should make it that easy to get it out there, but I don't want to hurt, well, there's not going to be any issue with hurting anyone on it either, because there's no copyright infringement because Sister White's dead. But the fact of the matter is, we don't just have Seventh-day Adventists to talk to. We have enough understanding of prophetic events to talk to Sunday keepers now. All of us do. And you don't even have to bring up Ellen White, you know. But you certainly can bring up the prophecies that you not only found in Scripture, but you get a little bit more insight in regards to some of the, you know, the nuts and bolts that Sister White puts in it. You know, because there's a lot of stuff missing in the Scripture. Well, it's not really missing. It's just not as easy to find unless you get somebody. It's like you got your own prophet right nearby to try to explain some of the hard, you know, areas, which is always good. You know, it's wonderful that her writings are there now that we've found the original. Well, we've had the original ones for a while, but I didn't know it was that bad, to be honest with you. So going on, it says, the workers will find their harvest wherever they proclaim the forgotten truths of the Bible. They will find those who will accept the truth and will devote their lives to winning souls to Christ. The Lord is soon to come, and we must be prepared to meet him in peace. Let us be determined to do all in our power to impart light to those around us. We are not to be sad, but cheerful. And we are to keep the Lord Jesus ever before us. He is soon coming, and we must be ready and be waiting for his appearing. Oh, how glorious it will be to see him and be welcomed as his redeemed ones. Long have we waited. And that's why Isaiah, this is our Lord, we have waited for him. Long have we waited, but our hope is not to grow dim. If we can but see the King in his beauty, we shall be forever blessed. And think about this, too. She says this before, she goes to sleep and she doesn't get a chance to see him. I mean, but if you look at, there's another thing, too. Going to Sister White's writings, and she goes into a little bit more details of what's going on between 6 and 7, plague 6 and 7. And you can see it in the scriptures, but it's a little bit easier to see it in her writings where she shows how there's a resurrection of the faithful ones that were part of the three angels' message that resurrect, obviously, so as to see the covenant of peace brought forth even before Jesus returns. They're going to stand there with the Gideon band, but they're not going to be part of the 144,000, obviously. But we've already known that, but it's nice to see that we've got confirmation, because the 1911 doesn't have it in there as far as I know. So, or the other ones, I don't know. So going on, it says, I feel as if I must cry aloud, homeward bound. We are nearing the time when Christ will come in power and great glory to have his ransom ones to take his ransom ones to their eternal home. In the great closing work, we shall meet with perplexities that we know not how to deal with. But let us not forget that the three great powers of heaven. See, there's another reason a lot of people don't read their Bibles and they only read the corrupted Ellen White writings, and they don't know how she talks about the three great powers of heaven. They think it's only one God. Jesus isn't God. The Holy Spirit doesn't exist at all. But it's there. And this is a compilation, no less. So going on, it says, three great powers are working, that a divine hand is on the wheel, and that God will bring his promises to pass. He will gather from the world a people who will serve him in righteousness. And so amen and amen and amen. So let me see. We only got two left. That looks like another half hour. So I don't want to stay up too late with y'all. But so amen to that. So if you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Look out, kitty. I don't want to roll over your toe. That a girl. She's wandering around by the wheels here. All of a sudden you hear a loud squeak. Hey, please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for answered prayer. Many of us have been praying for something to do, a project to do, something to go forward and run with it that'll bring more truth to the people out there that need to hear it, especially those that are trapped in the apostate SDA church. Those are like-minded brethren, Father, but they don't even know it. They don't even know it. We love them, and we love them enough to tell them the truth, but some of them are... they don't want to hear it, but that's not our issue. We have to try to get to those who do want real truth. And so please bless us with a way to get this done with the books and get the work done a lot quicker than we've ever done before in our lives. Thank you for the means by which to do it in advance, and thank you for giving us all that we need within our hearts and our minds, and wherein we have the utterance, we have the words to share, the words that cut the hearts. Thank you so much for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us, and even healing us spiritually first and physically later. And thank you for giving us this work to do in these last days. It was prophesied that these books would come back, and we want that work. And so please bless this work and let it go forth to glorify you and you alone, so that many more souls can declare on that great and dreadful day, this is our God. We have waited for him. Thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen.